97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. I could see Bowler cranking this up in the old Trans Am back in the mean streets of Kansas, Missouri, having all kinds of fun.
It's really
rocky
good.
Like a hurricane. Bowler, how are you?
Hey, I'm well. I'm good. What are you guys doing? I like that. I like that rock and roll beat.
So rocky good.
Like a hurricane. Oh, high 70, so you know, you can just put it on cruise control, and about Hayes, Kansas to Goodland is just a straight shot. So
I can't imagine the trouble you and the buddies got into during a hot summer, and during the hot summer there in Kansas.
You know, we've talked about that. It's just a good thing. We really didn't do a lot of, you know, stuff that would get you in a lot of trouble, but I'm always thankful iPhones were not invented at that particular time in my life.
Hey, Bowler, Scotty and I need to talk to you about a worry of ours, something that we fear might tear the Jazz apart at the seams. This whole fight that's going on between Donovan Mitchell and Joe Ingles on who could hit a pitch off of who. And I want to know, I want to get your take on this. I mean, you've seen Donovan Mitchell throw a ball. You know that he can really huck it. And you know that Joe Ingles has never picked up a baseball bat. He called it a baseball triangle yesterday. So we know that he hasn't picked it up. What happens in terms of, can he get a hit off of one of 10 Donovan Mitchell pitches? And if he can't, or if Mitchell hits him, or are we going to have another bad situation that cannot be repaired?
It'd be a brouhaha. I'd see Donovan brush him off the plate a little high and tight, you know, just to intimidate him. And then Joe has to rethink, what the hell am I doing here? And then Donovan just Donovan just dominates from that point out. Now, look, you can always go into the bunt formation or the bunt stance, right, and just throw your bat. That's, you know, I don't know if Joe wants to swing on him, but he could sure kind of just square up a little bit and get into the stance and just throw the bat at the ball and see if he could even make contact.
Hey, I've never really played baseball at a high level. I've never had a fast pitch coming at me to try to bunt. Bowler, Lloyd, Scotty, how tough is it? Let's say he throws an 80-mile-per-hour fastball. How hard is it to bunt an 80-mile-per-hour fastball into play?
Well, I mean, I played high school, and that's all I have to compare it to, but I had some buddies who could huck it good. I mean, 80 a little – yeah, 80 was pretty common. There's a guy named Richie Martin. I can see him right now playing Little League, and the guy was like a phenom, and we all just never wanted to go to the plate because it's a psychological thing, man. You know, guys – it's tough. I mean, if you square up to bunt, I mean, that ball's on top of you before you can even, you know, react. And then, of course, Scotty, remember, the coach has always told you have to kind of dead hit it, meaning, you know, drag it, or you want to, you know, throw it along the third base line. So I think Joe would have trouble. But, hey, Joe's Joe. Joe has that special, you know, Joe is jingling Joe. So, you know, I'd have to see it. It'd be great pay-per-view. I mean, why not?
Well, I don't know if you had a chance to hear the interview, but, you know, PK's diehard baseball guy, and DJ knows the game really well. And so I think all of them were kind of thinking, like, Joe, you're in over your head on this one. And you could tell, like, Joe is normally just laid back, chill, have fun. And, you know, let's be honest, we had to dump him because he started to get really upset. Like the thought that, with 10 swings, he couldn't make one bit of contact in 10 pitches to put a ball in play. And so he's a competitor. He's an athlete. And Hans and I got into it a little bit yesterday. Like, I think he'll find a way to get contact just to make that thing go forward, even if it's only a foot and a half.
You know, I'd say this is years ago, but when the Salt Lake Trappers were in town, the rookie league – before the Bees came about, this is like in the late 80s, maybe early 90s, and we went out and did a story exactly about this. Could a normal guy off the street just hit an 80-plus, 85, 82-mile-an-hour fastball? So, of course, I had to jump in and give it a look. And it's incredible. The ball is on you so fast, and I can't imagine in the bigs when someone's tossing 99 at you, you know, what you do. I took like 10 or so swings, and I barely clipped one ball. Barely. And I thought that was a win for me, you know, like, hey. And I, you know, but it's difficult. And, you know, hey, Joe is a competitor, though. I mean, I'm not gonna cut him out of anything that he, you know, he wants to do it, man. He's done more than I have. I mean, guy's going, what, to his fourth Olympics this summer as a boomer with Australia. I mean, look, baseball is a totally different game, but I think mentally he probably wants to go up there and, you know, he's kind of got that, you know, that little evil eye. Maybe he throws that back at Donovan and then you got yourself a good matchup. Be fun to watch, wouldn't it? It really would.
Oh, yeah, very.
Craig Buller, Jack, joining us right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. You think we're going to see either a combination of Kawhi or Paul George tonight, or is this the same Clipper team we saw two nights ago?
You know, I haven't heard yet, Scotty, but I'll be honest. I'd like to see it. Again, Lloyd and I were talking before I came on, and maybe this is a little mind game, well said by Lloyd, if they don't play, to say, okay, have your fun now. We'll see you in the second half in the playoffs. But, you know, it's I don't know how bad the toe is, you know, for Paul George. I mean, he's been out 7, could be 8. And then Kawhi's missed 3 with a lower leg contusion. So I've always believed that teams want to play the best against the best. And it would be interesting to see if they do, or one of them would actually play. My thought is that with the first half of the season winding down quickly, they may just take the rest and the extra week that goes with it, with the All-Star game, and then kind of restart their whole, you know, the whole process with the second half of the season. I could be wrong, but I'd like to see them play tonight. And I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, the Jazz feel the same way. Look, the win streak's incredible, but, you know, I think, again, the validation of who you're playing comes into play. And if I'm playing, I'd like to play against the best they have and toss them at me, and let's see how it turns out.
My other thought is, you know, if Kawhi's looking at Paul George, Paul George's not ready to go, Nicholas Batum's not ready to go, is Kawhi thinking to himself, well, I'll still step on the court as one of the three starters that's missing, or do you think Kawhi looks at it and says, well, if we're not going to be fully loaded, then – let's just wait. I do wonder if it's two of the three or none of the three.
And what would you do? I know what you would do. You'd strap up. You put the helmet on and go. I would, Scotty.
Yeah. And really, it comes from a deep level of competition. I know you would, and I know Scotty would, but it's been weird to watch the evolution of the NBA player and Kawhi Leonard specifically.
Yes. Yes.
Is so careful and so cautious to put himself on the court at the right times that I don't even think he'd let that ego, that sportsmanship ego, get in the way to force him on the court. Says, nobody treats my team like this at the Staples Center. Like, they just got abused in the fourth quarter of that game two nights ago.
Yeah, really the second half. It was a 68-45 dominating performance, and they just shut down, you know, Lou Williams and Patrick Beverley, and really the rest, except for a guy named Amir Coffey, who's a two-way guy, and who actually had a nice fourth quarter. He's really kind of the centerpiece of their offense. But you make a great point about the evolution of athletes and what are they playing for. Who impacts that decision, too, by the way? Training staff, yes. Player knows themselves as well as anyone, obviously. And then, of course, agents who will whisper in the ear, you know, maybe this isn't the right time. Injury, you know, protect. And look, I was surprised as you when a guy like, you know, Popovich, the coach in San Antonio, has had such great success and great relationship with players that relationship absolutely imploded because of a hamstring, right? And that thing went on and on and on. And then finally, which is so odd with the Spurs franchise, no one leaves really on their own. But Kawhi and, you know, his group got him out. He went to Toronto. You know, he was able to play limited minutes but still win a championship. He's a two-time MVP, a two-time Defensive Player of the Year. Hans, I would think that his level of play and desire would say, if I'm healthy, I'm going. That's what I would expect. But, again, I'm not sure what much I know anymore about behind the scenes, because there's, like you said, there's a lot of play that goes into making decisions on when you play, how long you're going to play, and how long you're going to take off to make sure that you're healed. And so I would think if you're healthy, you play. I mean, that's the old school way of thinking. But if my other guys aren't available, then why waste my time or risk injury again? That could be a process as well.
Yeah. Different generation for sure. So with that said, and obviously even without those two, the Clippers gave the Jazz some fits for the first three quarters of that game before the Jazz were able to pull away. But let's just peek ahead, because Quinn can't do it, or at least they say they would never do it. The players won't do it, but let's peek ahead to next week when they have the Lakers. And let's say the Lakers have LeBron, they won't have AD, but to go up against LeBron with this team and the Jazz still have that winning streak going, how excited are you to use that game as a litmus test?
Well, anytime you play LeBron, it's a great test, because he by himself would rarely ever step off the court unless obviously he's hurt. I mean, he's played hurt, and that's but he also takes care of his body, Hans and Scotty, as well as anybody in the NBA, much like what Tom Brady's done in the National Football League. I don't know how long LeBron wants to play. Rumor is he wants Bronny to be a pro and they play on the same team, a father-son combo. Heck, that could easily happen in the next couple of years. So, I think the Jazz have been tested, Scotty, honestly. I mean, they ran through the best in the East thus far at home. They have the second best road record in the NBA and the best home record in the NBA. And I don't know if they have to continue to prove, but what I see is just multiple ways of winning, very little panic, and the ability to rally back from 10, 12 down. As we know in the NBA, a couple of threes can turn a game around in a hurry, and that's what the Jazz have been able to do, but also pick up their defense. You're spot on about the Clippers in the first half. Even Quinn said they didn't run. They didn't play that hard. But the second half, you saw a totally different personality come out and pick up the pace and also pick up their defensive energy. So multiple ways to play, threes, paint, defense, creating offense with their defense. I'm pretty impressed with what I see. And I think we passed the litmus test. You know, and I've got a pretty good feeling for this team. And tonight is going to be game 30. And they're 24-5. And, this is without Conley, too, for the last six, which tells me, again, how deep this team is and what Joe Ingles can actually do, too, as a starter. That guy's pretty special.
Buller, what do you think Quinn Snyder's reaction is to getting the coaching nod as the all-star coach of the West? I'm so curious, just in his personal life, maybe his conversation with his wife or his family, like how pleased is he by it? Like how much does this move him? How much does he even think that he deserves it? Like how would Quinn Snyder feel about this honor?
You know, I talked to him, the last couple of days, and it's typical Quinn. It's about the team and he's excited. I know he's honored and he should be. And I hope he does take it in because, you know, his road back to the NBA is quite intriguing, by the way, from Missouri back to Russia, and then fighting his way into the NBA again as an assistant, now the head coach in his seventh year. He's, by the way, he's climbing up on 300 career wins, two guys. He's at 295. And I would hope that he takes a minute to embrace it because the journey that he's been on is now where he's at. So I really do believe he appreciates it. But again, in Quinn Snyder fashion, he truly believes this is not just him. He has to have the players to coach, and he wants to share it. And that's why I think makes this team even more special. You know, you can stand there and take all the accolades you want, but in reality, he knows that it takes, you know, these 15 players to really make a run at what the ultimate goal is, and that's to win a title. And right now, man, it's exciting. But Hey, Quinn's well so deserving. I'm excited for him, but also for the franchise to get much needed recognition on such a big stage as well.
You surprised Jerry never had one of these opportunities?
You know, I remember talking to him about it, and he would say in his typical Sloan, hell, that don't matter. You know, I mean, that's just the way it was. But I still think down deep, you know, never being named Coach of the Year. And because at that time, too, Scotty and Hans, you guys remember, I mean, the critics would say, well, he has Stockton and Malone. You know, what's so special about that when you're just, you know, ripping off wins and dominating at home? But, you know, you could say the same thing about what Pops has done in San Antonio and, you know, other coaches who've won Coaches of the Year or been at the top of the West or the East and, you know, and coached the All-Star game. But, yeah, for some odd reason, Jerry never got to that level. And it's hard to understand why. But, again, from people I've talked to over those years were, well, look, you know, he was expected to win. And so, you know, if you're expected, how hard did he actually work? Well, look, no one worked harder than Sloan. You know, he was an all-team guy, too. And, you know, he'd send you back to the locker room if you didn't wear the right shoes or the right socks, you know, that type of stuff. But, yeah, I always hated to hear, well, look, man, he has Stockton and Malone and Hornacek. Well, look, a lot of teams have great players. But it's how do you, you know, continue to build and win and the coaching job that he did with Phil. I mean, Phil was a Coach of the Year, right? And so Jerry, oddly, Hall of Famer, never Coach of the Year. Really strange to me that Jerry never earned that honor.
The great Craig Buller, Jack, right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone. Buller, you're the man. We appreciate it and look forward to doing it again next week.
All right. I'm waiting for the barbecue tips to come back out, but I know you guys are going to work at it. Forget the snow, Scotty. Just roll it out. Let's go. Let's do it.
Done and done. We're on it. Let's make happen.
Sounds good. Go Jazz. Have... 8 o'clock tonight. We'll see you.
See you, Buller.
Hey, just make sure DJ's got all those smokers lined up, and we'll be out there, and we'll make it happen.
Okay, and I know, bring your new special recipe.
Yeah, Bob's going down. We're not letting that happen.
Bob's going down. See, this would be another one, just like Scotty and Bob, Donovan and Joe. You know, it's kind of in that same category there, you know. But it's baseball, but this is barbecue battles. I mean, again, worthy of pay-per-view.
That issue with me and Bob, that has kind of beat the station up a little bit. There are some problems there.
Got to settle this, Scotty, once and for all.
Yeah, I know. We'll get it done. Thanks, Buller.
All right, see you soon.
Craig Buller, Jack, right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. You know we've got a lot more BT interviews during majors than Bob during after all this went down.
Oh, man. How are we ever going to get this thing fixed?
I need to beat him, and then it'll be fine.
And then it'll be okay.
And then it's fine. Yeah.
Still think you need to beat him in his own backyard with brisket, man.
I think that's the way we need to go. Yeah, I think you're right on that.
That'll teach him.
Yeah, that'll show him. Mm-hmm. Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone. Hans, I know you're back out there at RGS. They do such a tremendous job. And Ross is hanging out with us. Ross, how you doing?
Good.
It's good to see you, Ross.
Yeah, you too.
How you been, man?
You know, just getting along.
Pretty busy?
Yeah, we're slammed, which is a good thing. I mean, winter season, we usually come into the year with quite a bit of work. This year, a little more than normal.
How much of the work that you're currently doing is new builds as compared to remodels?
We're about half and half.
Oh, okay. So you're about 50% on those.
Yeah.
I just want people to understand, if you've got a project in mind, get in here and get started. You know, come in and meet with the designers at RGS. Kind of walk them through that, too. I love the thought that you can come in and look at kind of a digital programming of what your house would look like with a little stone on it, take the stucco off, put the hardy plank or batten board on, and kind of see what your house might look like.
Right. So if you set up an estimate, we'll have one of our guys come out and take pictures of your house, you know, give them some ideas. So if you're actually looking for a remodel on your home and you're throwing out ideas like maybe we want to throw some hardy up here and you know, maybe let's do some blue siding over here with some shake, or let's do some board and bat over here. Maybe we'll do some white with, you know, with whatever. And if you're throwing those ideas out, we have our guys have a software. So our estimators, they have a software that they can use and they can take pictures of your home, and then they'll get back to you with those workups, and you can actually see what your home might look at with those products.
When you look at and the great thing is just getting the information and just knowing what you guys can do and having somebody come out there and take a look at the place and get you that bid, and that costs you nothing just to get that information on how you might have the best house in the cul-de-sac before it's all said and done.
Right, right. You know, we're not the company that you're going to call and be like, God, I got to get my siding redone next week. You know,
yeah.
We're going to come out and we're going to go through the process with you. We're going to get in the works. We're going to make sure you agree upon the design. We're going to button down the details, and then you're going to get into our schedule. But our schedule's out, right? We're going to be a few months before we get to you because we are a company that prides ourselves in our backlog. We have a lot of customers on the board. We have a lot of good crews working on it, but we're going to be a few months before we're going to get a big project done, right? Doesn't mean that everything's going to take that long, but, you know, good companies are always busy because good companies present themselves well. They advertise, and they, you know, they're going to have a backlog. So that can't scare you away. If you want a good company, you're going to have to wait for that type of company. But, yeah, I mean, the best idea is to, you know, get in the system now. Get the ideas now. Find out how much it's going to cost you. Budget for it, and you know, get on the list. And that's the best way to do it.
Let's make it happen. Go to rgsutahsiding.com. That's rgsutahsiding.com for more information on all the many things these guys can do for you. rgsutahsiding.com. Right here on the Zone Sports Network.
This is DJ and PK.
Joined now by Ken Pomeroy.
You're a local guy. What's your favorite local sports radio show?
You know, I'm a big fan of the Movie Zone. Is that a sports show?
No. Sports, Ken. Stay with me. Come on, Ken. Come on.
Okay. I guess it'd be DJ and PK.
Make a promo out of that.
That was pretty convincing, I thought.
Yeah, you really sold it. That was awesome. It's a pretty low bar here, though, so we're not really going to get all that worked up.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me, and I truly, truly love your show and wake up to it every morning. How's that?
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 till 10 on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. It's time to saddle up and talk about the winners and the losers. This is the good, the bad, and the ugly. Now, here's the good.
Good, the bad, the ugly here on the Zone Sports Network, all brought to you by Zero Res. Get three rooms of carpet clean for $89.95. Available now, some restrictions apply, so call Zero Res, schedule your appointment, get more information, 801-288-9376. Let's get those carpets clean. Kids have been walking through that house, all kinds of snow and dirt on those shoes. Let's get it squared away. 801-288-9376. All right, Hans, let's start with the good, and it was a good day yesterday for Jay Hill.
Jay Hill has signed an extension that will take him through the 2025 season at Weber State. And obviously we know what Jay Hill's done there. He's done some incredible things over his 6 years as head coach. He's made the FCS playoffs each of the past 4 years and had a national semifinals appearance last year. He's won outright or at least a share of each of the past 3 Big Sky Conference championships. So this guy is just a winning machine at this level with Weber State. Weber State's lucky to even still have him there as a coach. And every time I see an extension and every time I see him remain at Weber State, I stop and pause and think, why or how? Because I think that Jay Hill is a promising up-and-coming coach, and he must just be waiting for the right big offer to come his way.
Yeah, I just think that there's a lot of opportunities that he have had and that he has had, and frankly, a lot of opportunities that he should have had that isn't that for whatever reason hasn't lined up for him. This guy can flat out coach. This guy can flat out win. And Weber State is dang lucky that they've been able to hang on to him for as long as they've had, and to be able to lock him down again for another contract. But with that said, I mean, I got to imagine the phone's going to keep ringing, and I don't know when, I don't know how, but whoever is eventually going to be able to lure away Jay Hill from Weber State is going to have themselves one heck of a coach.
Yeah, and I don't know how they're going to do it, because it feels like he's got a real connection with that area. And every time we ask him, Scotty, you know, obviously his wife went through cancer in a really tough time. And when they went through that tough time with his wife and his kids in that area. That area stepped up big for him. And obviously, the cancer help that we have in this state is unprecedented. There's nowhere in the country that helps cancer patients like we can do here with the Huntsman Center and some of the other things that we do in the state. So I know that he really loved that. I know that he loves to win, and he knows that he's got a plan that he can win with, so he loves to stick around and win. I also believe that he wants to win a championship. Like I know, going to the next level and winning a championship is really difficult. I'm not talking about a conference championship. He's got plenty of those. I think he wants to win a national title. And I think that that's in the plans for him this year. I'm excited to see what they can do this year. But I think that those are just a couple of the reasons Jay sticks around.
Well, they're certainly lined up to make a run. I mean, what are they, number three, I think, in the preseason polls? And Jay said multiple times on this station that this is his best team he's ever had there, or very well could be the best team he's ever had there. So it's certainly lining up for him to have that kind of a year. All right, there's your good. Let's get to the bad.
Now the bad.
I don't know how bad this is, but I don't know. I didn't know where else to put it. We could have put it in roulette, but I thought it would fit here. Kind of bummed to see Brian Thompson go from the University of Utah to one of the rivals of the University of Utah and Arizona State. And I actually think he's going to perform pretty well there for Herm Edwards. I know that Utah fans might think, well, Brian Thompson never had the breakout season that he was expected to have. Or Brian Thompson, look, this had nothing to do with Brian Thompson. It had everything to do with the other targets that were around a quarterback that could only get it 15 to 20 yards out of the pocket. And Brian Thompson is a run a corner off the line type of guy. He's got plenty of speed and he's got sticky fingers, and he's going to do really good things for Arizona State. And I know that Utah still got Britton Covey and Ennis, and you know I know that Jalen Dixon says that he's coming back out of the portal, and they've got some other receiving targets, including Keithy. But I'm kind of bummed to see that Brian Thompson, I thought, oh, he'll leave, definitely leave out of the conference, maybe even go back east or head back into Texas or do something down there. But he just went a little south, Scotty, and now the University of Utah is going to have to see him.
It's one thing to lose a guy of that kind of that has that kind of caliber, that kind of talent. It's another thing to lose him to a member of the Pac-12, and then it's another thing to lose him to a guy that you're going to see every year in your division of the Pac-12. And that's the thing that just kind of kicks you in the butt a little bit, and I'm sure as Kyle Whittingham and that staff is none too pleased about that he stayed in the division in the Pac-12. Which he has every right and opportunity to do so, but still, that stings, Hans.
It does sting, and it makes me wonder if he's got a bit of an agenda. That guy, really, he could have gone anywhere. You know, he's one of the guys in the portal that I think could have gone anywhere and done anything.
That Arizona be keyed on him.
Yeah, they will. They'll be keyed on him. And Lloyd, he's going to show up on that field, and he's going to want to prove a point too. Arizona State wildly underperformed in that COVID year that they put together. It was not a good year for them. Now, they only played four games, but they split them 2-2. And, you know, I thought that Arizona State would do a much better job in just the four games that they had. But I want everybody to remember Jaden Daniels, and Jaden Daniels, he didn't hit the level of expectations we thought he would last year, but Jaden Daniels is a heck of a quarterback. I can promise you the guy can get over the top on a 20-yard go. He could get over the top on a 30-yard slow go. So I think that Arizona State is really going to find the services of Brian Thompson. They're really going to use him up. And Lloyd, to your point, Utah better key on him because he's coming for you. And that's why I think, man, did he have an agenda, an axe to grind? Did he want to show up on Utah's schedule and show them? Like, I don't know why you stick in division. You're staying in division, let alone in conference.
Maybe he's upset they never got him a QB.
Okay.
At least he fills, maybe. I don't know.
But here's the thing. Like, this is a guy that's capable of 1,200 yards receiving and 15 touchdowns, and that could happen at Arizona State, but why not go to some pass-happy school where they're throwing it, you know, 40, 50 times a game with with that type of an offense. And Arizona State may be that team, I guess, but I think there's some more surefire schools that you could go to where you could put up those kind of numbers. Arizona State doesn't seem like a chance that, you know, a player of this caliber leaves and you think, okay, well, this is a guy that, you know, wants to go win a title, play in a BCS game, and maybe play in a college football playoff game. And I just don't see that happening with Arizona State. And he's the guy that gets him over the hump, I guess. I don't know.
I could see Arizona State being very competitive in the South Division in the Pac-12. I could see them maybe even being competitive for the Pac-12 championship. But to your point, Scotty, there's no way they're competitive on a national level. I don't think they're going to be that good.
Yeah. All right, Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. I'm just going to go ahead and skip the ugly. We're already behind, and it's super depressing anyway, so... coming up next, a little bit of whole world news straight ahead right here on the Zone Sports Network.
The Big Show with Jake Scott and Gordon Monson.
Sam Amick. I still see national pundits compare the Jazz to the Hawks of a few years ago that were so good but ended up flaming out. Is this a case where the Jazz really can't win those people over to their side? Because 20 of 21, it doesn't get much better than that.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like Donovan Starr does continue to get brighter, but it's not as bright as a James Harden or a LeBron. If you ask the casuals why Utah is winning every night, they say, tell me what LeBron's doing. But they're earning respect on a nightly basis. They're winning even when they don't play all that well, which is a sign of a really good team. They're winning when they got guys out of the lineup. They seem to also keep their perspective on the big picture and know you don't win a championship a couple months into the regular season.
Catch the Big Show weekdays from 2 to 7. Presented by Big O Tires, the team you trust. On 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
We've got the whole world in our hands.
You got the whole world.
Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. It is time for another edition of Whole World News. And Hans, I've read through this story, and I don't even want to talk about EliteWorks because I don't know if I want EliteWorks' name even where near this story.
No, they'll do a better website than this story, I promise you. If you need anything rebuilt, they'll do it for free. If you need a new build, they'll give you an amazing price, 844-523-2777. They've got guys standing by to take your phone calls. So if you've got website needs, call now, 844-523-2777.
EliteWorks doesn't deserve what you're about to talk about.
Well, okay, you got to remember, though, these two disorders we're about to talk about, they need to be talked about. It's trichotillomania and it's trichophiga, I believe is the way that you pronounce these two. One,
I think we need to talk about it.
One is the urge to pull your hair out. That's the trichotillomania. And the other one is to eat that hair. Now, people that
Johnny, don't laugh, Johnny. This is a serious issue.
People that have trichotillomania typically don't have the trichophagia, the desire to eat the hair that they pull out of their head. But when you combine the two, you get yourself a real mess. And that's what happened with a teenager in England. She continued to pull out her hair and eat it from a young age until she turned 17. And Scotty, about a month ago, she started getting sick, her stomach was sick, and then she started passing out. She fainted. Parents took her into the doctor, and they did a scan on her stomach, and they found an oval-shaped hairball that was 19 inches long that completely filled her entire stomach. 19 inches long, a hairball that had bound up 19 inches long. She ate at least two full heads of hair and got it stuck in her belly. And this symptom is actually called Rapunzel syndrome.
Oh, geez.
And obviously it has to do with long hair and long hair being in the stomach. They did operate. They pulled out the hairball, and this 17-year-old is going to make a full recovery. But I just want to reach out to the people out there that do have a desire to pull their hair out of their head. I get it. We all have our thing. But if you're going to pull the hair out of your head, please don't put it in your mouth and swallow it. Please.
By the way, there's a lot of pain across the board here. First off, just pulling a hair out of your scalp cannot be a pleasant experience. And then obviously the pain from consuming said hair obviously was not a pleasant experience. Like that, I don't even know where to go with this, man. This is not something people need to hear about on a Friday.
Well, I just hope that if somebody's out there dealing with it, they can.
Okay, this isn't like if we can save one soul out there. Like no, they're. I can't imagine we have anybody listening right now that's dealing with this.
This isn't worthy of Sarah McLachlan.
Yeah,
it's not.
Are you sure?
I mean, $5 a day, we'll send you some shears so that people will cut your. You can cut your hair instead of pulling it out.
That's the one thing good about us, Scotty, is we'll never deal with the trichophagia part of this where we want to eat our hair. Hey, have you ever had hair caught in your mouth? I don't like it. I don't like having hair in my mouth. I don't like having hair in my food.
Well, yeah, I mean, we had a delightful lunch, you and I, a long time before we started the show that got derailed because you found a long piece of hair in your food.
Was it that long?
That's why I said long piece of
don't.
Hair.
Don't. No. Your
food. Oh, that was the worst moment, man. That was a rough one. It looked like a pig's tail. I personally don't have the desire to pull my hair out. I certainly don't have the desire to eat my hair. But if I did, I don't know if I'd eat 19 inches worth, you know, to really clog up my stomach. Although I am an overeater.
Well, I guess that's the thing. Like, okay, so that's a lot of hair. I wonder if she's like, I'm going to let this grow out and we're going to have ourselves a Thanksgiving dinner here. Like, did you know, because that takes a lot of willpower to be able to wait that long and then it's go time. Like, because, you know, that sounds like that's a, you know, year and a half's worth of hair. Was she just biding her time, looking at that, you know, looking at that hair every morning like you and I would at a piece of steak? Like, oh, you need to dry age another 21 days, but after that, it's go time.
I don't know if that's how it went down, Scotty, but I can tell you if I was a hair eater, we'd have real problems. I mean, it'd be a lot more than 19 inches. I'd have a good 48 inches stuffed in my gut because I do love to eat. I'm just glad I don't know, Scotty. It's crazy how much hair is on girls' heads. You know, I've got four girls in my house, my wife and my three daughters, and I am shocked by the amount of hair that is everywhere all the time.
How often do you have to clean out a shower drain?
So once every probably 6 to 8 months, I've got to run a plumber's helper through just to push through the clogging. And, you know, I've got those rental condos and, you know, I'll get a call. Hey, we're backed up. And I'll go and I'll pull the gooseneck off the P-trap off some of these sinks. And you pull that trap down and it looks like this 17-year-old British girl's stomach. It's horrible.
Yeah, no, there's the things you see when you do that are not pleasant.
Yeah, it's horrible. No, so please, if you are going to pull, don't eat.
All we ask. Nope. All right. Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone. Hans, I know you're back there at RGS, and let's get those houses looking right.
Yeah, man, let's do it. Ross is hanging out with us. And, you know, Ross, if your gutters look like a 17-year-old stomach that's been eating her hair, we can help you with that.
I can't even take this.
I'm not sure how to transition on this. You know, gutters do get packed with leaves and stuff. Talk to us about those gutter secure systems where they've got the screen that bumps the leaves off.
So back in the day when I was on the wall, or we'd say on the wall, on the roofs, and you'd have those gutter clean outs, it can be pretty nasty. You get some leaves in there and a little bit of debris and an occasional bird or squirrel or so they could get pretty gross, but God bless plumbers. That's not something I want to do all day every day.
Yeah,
so
could you imagine?
We do so we offer a leaf protection system, a few of them. And so if you've got the issues where your gutter's getting clogged, usually if you have a mature tree or two in the area that like to fall and clog up your gutters, we have a system for that. Depending on the style of roof, would we'll let you know what type of system works best for you. Go along with that, if you have ice problems, ripping off, if you have like a metal roof or an area where your ice is building up in your gutter and it's kind of ripping off your gutters, we can put a leaf protection on top of that to help the ice come up over the gutter instead of just ripping that right off. So that's definitely something we offer. If you need your leaves taken care of and you can't have ice, then that's where the heat cable comes in. So anytime we sell a leaf protection system, we'll talk to you about the areas that you don't like the ice, because here, obviously, in Utah, we get it all. We get the ice, and we get a lot of ice because of, I think Kurt was talking a little bit earlier, we have these rapid temperature changes, and so we'll get a buildup of a little bit of snow, but it'll melt, and then it'll start melting, and then as soon as the sun goes down, it'll form ice. So it hits the cold spot in your roof down at the bottom, and that's where you get your ice damming, and it'll all form up on the bottom of your roof or in your gutters. So so that's what we offer the ice melting systems for. So we can combine the two, so we can get the whole shebang. You can get your gutters nice and cleaned out. You can put a leaf protection system on it, and then if you don't want any ice, then we can add some heat cable to that as well to keep the water flowing.
You know, Ross, in doing a little bit of research, because I've looked at those leaf protection systems, and Tim and I have talked about it as well, there's only a really, and he's mentioned this as well, you need, if you're going to go that route, you got to make sure you get the right system, because if you go with a system that's not right for your roof or it just isn't quality, you end up doing, it sounds like you do more damage than good with those things.
Yeah, no, certain systems work better with different shingles. Some of them are high, some of our systems are a high profile system where they sit up above like a hooded system, water will roll around. But depending if you have that type of roof that works for, you may have to go with a screen system. And we have a heavy gauge aluminum screen with perforations in it that tuck up under the shingles as well. That's a low profile system, so you don't see them, but it also works for different type of shingles. And depending on the leaves, the type of debris you're getting in there, it will help us decide what type of system is best for you as well.
Well, that's the kind of advice and that's the kind of help you get with RGS Exteriors. Give them a holler right now and make sure that you have an opportunity to check out some of the great systems that can help you and help you out in a big way. All you have to do is go to rgsutahsiding.com. That's rgsutahsiding.com right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone.